Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's IBM iSeries Nation Citizens Chat conference call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, for opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the call over to your host, Malcolm Haynes. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, Holly, and thank you, everyone, for joining us today. We've got hundreds of people on the line, and this is, for us, an extremely exciting moment. Today, Tim Alpers and three other speakers are going to talk about the May the 4th announcement. We've got the best possible speakers you can get. The first speaker is Al Zoller, whom everybody knows as the general manager for iSeries. He will talk for a few minutes about this. I don't know if you know, but Al said that there were four parts to our strategy for this product for this year. Three of those parts were to do with acquiring new things. One was acquiring new ISVs, the other one was new customers, and the third thing was new workloads. The fourth thing was image. This announcement has done a great deal to help us satisfy those objectives of our strategy for this year. And our second speaker, in fact, is one of those new ISVs. He's just been an ISV for a matter of weeks, and he's going to talk very briefly. It's Mike Young, who's the president and CEO of ITI. He's going to talk very briefly about why he's come across to the best computer a business can buy. The third speaker, then, everybody knows, that's the chief scientist for our product, Frank Soltis. He'll talk about Power 5. None of those speakers, incidentally, have got any visual aids. You will need the visual aids, so I assume you've gone to the website to download them for Tim's presentation, because Tim Alpers, who is the product development team leader for this announcement, will be going into the announcement in more detail, and you really do need the visual material to help you in Tim's part of the presentation. Then what we'll do is we will have an extended question and answer session. Al and Mike and Frank have got to move on, so they won't be around at the end of this call, but Tim and myself will be here to answer questions. So I won't take up any more time. Over to you, Al.
Thank you, Malcolm. Welcome, everyone, to our iSeries Nation Citizens Chat and to a very exciting announcement. A little over a year ago, we made a comprehensive transformation of the iSeries product, a transformation that was a catalyst for renewed business growth in 2003. On May the 4th, we announced the second phase of that transformation with the next generation of the iSeries, the IBM eServer i5, the first server to deliver Power 5, the first server to deliver the productivity benefits of the IBM virtualization engine, the first server to deliver a true on-demand operating environment, and perhaps, most significantly, a new economic model designed aggressively to win new customers. Now, combine all that with launch plans that include a new image campaign, events in over 200 cities worldwide, and a major print campaign, and you'll see that we're all set to make a major impact in the market. We're even going to test TV advertising. That's right, TV advertising in some U.S. cities. Now, let me take you through some of the highlights. First, you no doubt saw some of the excellent press coverage on our March 31st Power Everywhere announcement. There, Irving Wlodowski-Berger explained how open innovation between IBM and numerous other companies has fostered the growth of chips based on 64-bit power architecture in practically every type of device, from game consoles and cell phones to supercomputers. Now, with the first implementation of Power 5 on the eServer i5, we send the message that we are right at the center of IBM's development strategy for technology and servers. And we also recently announced the IBM Virtualization Engine, exploiting IBM's leadership in virtualization technologies like LPAR that help clients tap into new levels of productivity in the on-demand era. Of course, the concept of virtualization is not new to iSeries clients. In fact, over 70% of you with 870s and 890s are already running LPAR, and many more of you are taking advantage of virtual storage to enhance the productivity of your Linux and Windows infrastructure servers. But what is new with the IBM Virtualization Engine is our ability to run AIX, an announcement that truly is a breakthrough for a platform that some have considered proprietary, but that we recognize as the most open server in the industry. IBM Virtualization Engine also brings much more, including a range of new virtualization services like Director Multiplatform to manage multiple operating environments. And again, we get to lead on behalf of IBM with the first delivery of the IBM Virtualization Engine. Now, the announcement of the eServer i5 is also the first implementation of a truly common platform between iSeries and pSeries, something that we have been working toward for several years. As a result, our strategy for iSeries has never been clearer. With Power Architecture, the industry understands where our technology is going, and with pSeries as our partner, the industry knows who we are going with. Our common development and shared technology of Power 5 products allow us to deliver new levels of customer value and strengthen our competitive posture in the marketplace. All this without changing the fundamentals of our iSeries integrated value proposition, which remains central to our business strategy. But let's be clear. The common Power 5 platform creates an historic opportunity for us to drive growth. We have dramatically changed the economics of owning an iSeries. We've always led in total cost of ownership. Now, with i5, we are delivering greater than 40% price performance improvement across the line, and we're moving our hardware pricing in line with the marketplace, lowering memory pricing and disk pricing. We will capture the value and differentiate our product through additions, the combination of OS400 and our integrated middleware such as DB2 and WebSphere. You'll see very aggressive new price performance and low entry prices for additions with this announcement that signal we're going to make a major play for new customer growth. Finally, let's talk about changing the image of the iSeries and OS400. With eServer i5, we align ourselves even more closely at the center of our IBM server strategy. Renaming OS400 has long been requested by our ISVs to help them attract new customers. And with our strong investments in v5r3, we take the opportunity to rename OS400 to i5OS, leaving behind the legacy image of the 1990s. We also signal the growing importance of WebSphere to our ISVs and clients by integrating WebSphere Express with every license of i5OS. I want to thank all of you on the call who have supported iSeries for so long. Today, we enter a new era together. This announcement demonstrates what we have all said, that iSeries is a strategic platform with leadership technology. It is a platform that delivers exceptional value. It is a platform for growth. Mike Young, President and CEO of ITI, will now talk to you about why i5 is a great choice for their banking applications. Mike, over to you.
Thanks, Al. ITI became an ISV just a few months ago, and in our process of looking at various platforms, we ended up focusing on iSeries as a platform of choice. At that time, we had reviewed other platforms and currently offer other platforms. We were looking to extend our offering to give our customers more options and increase the value of our proposition, both from a hardware platform perspective as well as a software perspective. We chose iSeries based upon the acceptance of this product in the marketplace that we serve and its leadership and population in this marketplace. We have a large number of potential clients that have an affinity towards the iSeries platform, and we wanted to take advantage of that and make sure that we continue to provide a value proposition to our clients that is strong and forward-looking. The iSeries is a very powerful product, and we've learned a lot about it here in a short period of time in having our relationship with IBM just occurred just a couple of months ago, as I said earlier. The iSeries announcements that are underway today increase significantly the value proposition that we had based our decisions on when we made the original decision to move in the direction of iSeries, and is very exciting to us and to our clients. The clients, I'm sure, will be very impressed with the story and the reality of what is being delivered by IBM with these new iSeries announcements. The i5 is, from my perspective, a logical follow-on to an extremely successful story of iSeries for a long period of time, and really, once again, sets the bar high, as we would expect from IBM. Our relationship with IBM is very strong, and the folks from Rochester have been very helpful and supportive of our process in working to bring an iSeries product offering to market. We have just begun the rollout of our application series called the Next Generation of Premier on iSeries, but I can tell you from the enthusiasm that we just recently received from clients at a client conference that was held just within the last 30 days that there is a great deal of excitement about iSeries in general, and I'm sure as these announcements come out, there will even be more excitement in this regard. The next speaker is someone whom all of you know, the Chief Scientist for iSeries, Frank Soltis. Over to you, Frank.
Thanks, Mike. It's my privilege to be able to spend the next few minutes talking a little bit about the Power 5 technology. Most of you have probably by now seen the fantastic press that we are getting with the i5 announcement that we made last week. Much of that press also focuses on the use, for the very first time, of the new Power 5 processor technology. So I want to spend a few minutes talking a little bit about why that's important to AS400 and iSeries customers. First of all, Power 5 is the most powerful 64-bit chip ever built. I'm sure that there may be some of our competitors would argue with that, but it's fairly clear that this processor chip now is the flagship processor for the IBM company. In fact, if you look at most of the analysts that have looked at this particular processor technology, they will clearly agree that IBM now has a 1.5 to 2 year lead over anybody else in this industry. Obviously, we're going to be using this processor chip in the new i5, but it doesn't stop there. A little bit later this year, of course, we're going to be using the same technology in our other products, including our P-Series and some of our storage products. Once again, this same technology is going to be used as a basis for a lot of IBM's activities with other vendors, including consumer electronics and so forth. So the P5, the Power 5, is a very, very important step for the IBM company. It will be used in everything from small servers or consumer electronics to the world's biggest supercomputers. So what does all that have to do with AS400 and iSeries customers? Well, I look at that there's really two important points here. The first one is the fact that this incredible technology is appearing first in the i5. We did this intentionally. There are still some people in this world that somehow believe that the iSeries will somehow go away in the future. This announcement should clearly blow that away. This particular server is going to be around for a long, long time. Power 5 is just simply the next step in the generation of processor technology and hardware that IBM is doing. Clearly, there are going to be things in Power 6, Power 7, Power 8, and so forth. So one of the points that we're making with this announcement is that the future of this product and all of the applications that have been written by all of the many, many ISVs around the world and all of our customers are protected for many, many years to come. So that's the first point that I'd like to make about Power 5. But to me, there's actually a second point which is, to me, even more important. And that's the fact that we are introducing this new, incredible Power 5 technology at the very heart of our customer set. We're introducing it in the small and the mid-range part of the market. In the past, we've never been able to do that. We have always been announcing the latest technology, the newest technology, at the very high end of our product line. A good example of that was with Power 4. 2 years ago, we announced Power 4, but we announced it only in the very large processors. Very large systems, our model 890 and our model 870, and eventually moved that to some of the models of our model 825. But we were never, ever able to introduce that Power 4 technology in a model 800 or even a model 810. And the reason for it really had to do with the technology itself. Power 4 was and still is a really incredible chip, but it runs very, very hot. And as a result, we've had to put a lot of effort into the cooling technology. Now, fortunately, IBM has been very, very good at that. With some of our mainframe technology, the ability to air-cool a lot of very hot chips. And so we were able to build some modules, some cooling modules, that would enable us to keep this chip cool enough and package it in some of our very large systems. And so as a result, that became a very expensive package, and we were never able to package it at the very low end of the product line. Power 5 changes that dramatically. With Power 5, we are using a technology that allows the chip to run much, much cooler. In fact, what we're able to do is we are able to quiesce some of those many transistors on the chip when they're not being used. So in other words, they're not giving off any heat. The result is that we have a chip technology that's capable of going into our smallest servers. So at the very, very low end of the i5 product line, we're able to use the exact same chip that we will also use at the very high end of the product line, and as I said, even in some of the world's biggest supercomputers. So to me, that is also a mark of being able to provide the latest, greatest technology to the hearts of our customers, where most of our customers buy their systems really at the low in the mid side of the marketplace. So I've been very, very pleased with this announcement. It's a tremendous announcement. We need to take you through some of the announcement highlights. And to do that, we have Tim Alpers, who's our PDT leader. Tim, over to you.
Thanks, Frank. First of all, welcome to everyone who have joined this iSeries Nation Citizens Chat today. As Frank indicated, I'm going to take you through the contents of the announcement that we made last Tuesday, May 4th, worldwide. And again, if you can look at the chart deck that Malcolm pointed you to, my first chart there shows that the announcement was May 4th with a GA date of June 11th. But before I get into the details of this announcement, and again, this is very much a game-changing announcement for the iSeries product line. And I'll take you through the rich enhancements that we're bringing to the product line and some of the key changes that we're making from a naming perspective and a positioning perspective as we go forward. As you see on my cover chart, we introduced on May 4th the IBM eServer i5. The i5 is the Power 5-based system servers that we're delivering here as the follow-on as part of that overall iSeries family. So we're introducing the IBM eServer i5, and we're also introducing the next generation of the OS 400 operating system, and we're coining the term i5OS, the name i5OS, for version 5, release 3, again, the next release of the operating system, but this is the operating system that is required for running on the IBM eServer i5. And I'll take you through some of the very key and specific significant enhancements that we're making that caused us to re-term it, to focus on the new opportunities that we see with the platform. But before I get into the details of the content, I just want to give you a little bit of an overview and a summary of some of the very significant feedback that we've gotten from the announcement on May 4th. And just to throw some details out, we've had over 100 stories written up in major media and trade magazines worldwide just since Tuesday. One good indicator that we've had is our website. In terms of the number of hits, we've had close to 40,000 hits just the first week. Going into the website, and I encourage all of you to go to the website and take a look at more of the details as part of the announcement, as well as some of the videos that we've put together, videoing some of our customers, and you can also see an example of the commercial that Al referenced that we'll be opening up in the select TV markets in the U.S. here in May. But there is a print ad program that we've put out as well. We've spoken with over 100 analysts, and they're in the process of writing reports. Again, in a very positive overview that we've seen from both the analysts and all of the media, again, reflecting the quote-unquote power of this announcement. So without any more delay, let's get into the content and an overview of the announcement. So if you turn to page 2, Page two is the one chart, you know, very, very high level highlights of the announcement. And the first point there is, as Frank and Al alluded to, this is the next generation of the iSeries servers, the first servers from IBM in the iSeries P-Series line to deliver Power 5. It is the first server worldwide in the industry to leverage these new Power 5, very powerful Power 5 servers that Frank alluded to. So first in the industry for that. And as I indicated, i5OS version 5 release 3, building on the capabilities that we brought forward to the marketplace with v5r2, it is the next generation of OS 400. And those of you who have been with iSeries or have watched iSeries over the last several years, we've positioned iSeries within the IBM eServer line and within the industry to focus on, at a very high level, three key things that we believe are needed to meet the needs that our customers require in their businesses today. The first one is this concept of simplifying your infrastructure. What can we do from an iSeries perspective to help ensure that the IT that you, the customer, requires can be managed more simply and made available more readily to run the business that you need to run? And so I'll talk about in the presentation today the fact that in addition to i5OS or the OS 400 operating system and Linux and Windows that we've had as part of the current iSeries line and v5r2, we've also now added the capability to run native AIX operating systems on a IBM eServer i5 server. We've also introduced a concept that we call the virtualization engine, which I will talk with you. This is an IBM initiative, again, that's coming out first on the IBM eServer i5. And it is another step forward in terms of how you as a business can share the resources, the hardware investments that you've made on your IT infrastructure, and maximize the utilization of that investment. We'll also talk about some of the key things that we're doing in terms of managing the infrastructure. If we take a look at the different operating systems that we now have on an IBM eServer i5, how can we manage that? How can we provide consistent interfaces to common system management functions across those operating environments? And I'll talk about what we've done here with i5OS. The second key message is integration. And, of course, iSeries AS400 before that has always been about integration. And we've taken the next step in terms of providing higher levels of integration with some of the key middleware products that you as businesses need to run with in today's world. Things like WebSphere Application Server. I'll talk about how we're integrating that into i5OS. Also, key software products like WebSphere Portal, how we're leveraging that, and Lotus Workplace, how that's being leveraged, integrated into the i5, the eServer i5 offering, again with the intent to try to simplify the very complex technology that's needed to run efficient businesses these days, but how we, from an eServer i5 perspective, can take that up a level and provide consistency, more simplified operations so that, again, you can focus on your business more as opposed to your maintaining and updating your IT infrastructure. The third key message, definitely not the last, very important, is the business continuity aspect that we've put a lot of focus on from an iSeries perspective. Over the years, we're very proud to say that the reliability of iSeries has been very high, but we're not sitting on our laurels. We're continuing to focus on what are additional things that we can do to ensure that you can run 24/7. So what are the things that we can do to ensure that, you know, if one of the mechanical devices fails, how that can be replaced without having to re-IPL the system? What are some of the things that we can do to ensure that you can add resource without re-IPLing the system? And I'll talk about many of the things that we're doing to enhance those capabilities as part of the presentation here today. If you move to chart three, if I talk about, you know, some of the very key messages, key changes, reinforcing those three messages that I talked about in the previous chart, what are the key, you know, takeaways from this presentation that I'd like you to make sure you get in your minds. And that is, of course, again, eServer i5, the first Power 5-based server in the industry, the first IBM eServer and the first industry worldwide. Key message here with IBM eServer i5 is that we are going to exploit a common eServer platform with P-Series. As Al, Frank, and Malcolm alluded to, we will be bringing the Power 5 processors into our P-Series line as well. And I'll talk about how we continue to position, again, the different marketplaces that we serve with P-Series and I-Series. But we're doing that with a common eServer platform. So the new models that I'll talk about today will be models that will also be introduced on the P-Series line. And the key message plays into the next bullet is that a key change from an I-Series perspective is the fact that we will have a new economic model with these IBM eServer i5s. Because it is a common platform with P-Series, the pricing of that platform will be common and consistent with P-Series. So there's a very dramatic decrease in hardware prices for the IBM eServer i5. We will have pricing for memory, disk, I/O, the processors will be based off of very consistent, competitive prices in the Unix marketplace. And so that's a very dramatic change that we've made here with eServer i5. This new economic model, we've also played back to the existing offerings from iSeries, the model 8XX line. Earlier, or at the end of last month, we reduced the prices there to line up with the prices that we have here with the eServer i5. And the reason for doing that is, as I mentioned early on, the eServer i5 requires the i5 OS operating system. And many of you may not be in a position to move immediately to i5 OS to take advantage of the IBM eServer i5s. So we took similar price actions on the current product line. The current product line can run v5r2, v5r1, as well as i5 OS v5r3. And so you can move to that economic model, the current platform, start bringing on the i5 OS operating system, and that will then put you in a position to be able to move to the eServer i5s. So again, that economic model applies to the older, the 8XX iSeries product line, as well as the new eServer i5 product line. The other key point here on this chart is, again, from an iSeries perspective and now with eServer i5, we're continuing to drive this vision of an on-demand operating environment. And I'll talk about some of the enhancements that we're making. You know, we have introduced processor on-demand in the past, and we'll introduce some extensions to that as well as some capabilities for on-demand in other areas of the hardware. And then, as I mentioned, we're also introducing the first implementation of the IBM Virtualization Engine. The IBM Virtualization Engine is a capability across all IBM eServer platforms, first available on the eServer i5, and I'll talk about that as we go through the presentation. And then my last point on this chart is the fact that another step in terms of integrating some of our key middleware required for you as businesses, and that is every license of i5 OS will ship with WebSphere Application Server Express. And we're continuing with integrating that application server into the look and feel of i5 OS. But again, every license of i5 OS will have WebSphere Application Server. We're leveraging that for internal system functions, and it's, of course, also available for application programming. We've also included as part of that, and I'll talk about this a little bit more, but some example applications, ready-to-go applications that we make available, and I'll talk about those as we go through the chart deck. If you turn to chart four, Frank did a very good job of talking about the innovativeness and the leadership that we have with the Power platform. But this just kind of takes us back in time a little bit that says, you know, from an iSeries perspective and now eServer i5, we've been running on 64-bit RISC architectures since the middle 90s. So the Power 5 is actually the ninth generation of 64-bit processors that we've been running with, and this is actually then the fifth generation of the Power architecture.
So again, as you take a look at the competition in the marketplace today, there's still a lot of effort in terms of figuring out how we can get applications and penetration of 64-bit architecture out there. Power is there. We've been on that. This is the next turn of the crank. It is a very significant turn, as Frank alluded to, and you can see here in the lower right portion of this chart some of the enhancements beyond what Frank talked about. But very significant performance improvements, power management improvements, heat dissipation improvements like Frank alluded to. But again, leadership position in terms of microprocessor. Frank alluded to the fact that, you know, power is pervasive not just in servers but elsewhere. If I could just add a few points to that, you know, many are familiar with the Apple processor line. Apple runs with power processors. Many of our automobiles out there have power processors under the hood today. Many of our routers and switches in the marketplace today are running power processors. There's printers out there that are running power processors. And the one I like to kid about is the Mars rovers. The rovers that are on Mars, the two rovers up there, are running off of power processors. So we have 100% of that marketplace, and we hope to hold that. But anyway, if you turn to the next chart, we take this, you know, very powerful microprocessor, and of course, the nest, the electronic nest that goes around that is also balanced with the power of the processor. And as we take that processor and the nest, we build a common platform for both the iSeries, the eServer i5, and the P-Series. And this chart talks about, again, that platform providing leading capabilities in terms of performance, flexibility, support of multiple operating environments, and this whole ability to dynamically move resource across different environments is a leadership position. And we're taking that common platform and applying it to the marketplaces that we serve with eServer i5 and iSeries in the past and P-Series. And again, the key message here is, again, the marketplace that we serve with eServer i5 is that marketplace that is looking for the advantages that are obtained from integration. And those are things like ease of operation, of taking these, you know, very complex technologies and bringing them together in a form that's easier to manage, yet leveraging that technology, the capability, and the flexibility that provides. And with that comes higher levels of reliability. Again, integrating it, ensuring that all the levels work together, are tested together, ensures that that total solution stack is more reliable. Our P-Series continues to focus on leveraging this platform to deliver high-performance workloads in the Unix and Linux marketplace. The ability to take different technologies like different relational databases, different system management functions, put them together in different ways and be able to deliver that on a leading platform. So we'll continue with P-Series and with iSeries, leveraging a common platform going forward. If you turn to the next page talks a little bit about this new economic model that I referenced earlier. Again, common price for common hardware between iSeries and P-Series, memory, disk, processor activations, the processor feature codes themselves, common price. That means a very significant price reduction from previous iSeries models, therefore a very significant new economic model. And the reason why we're doing this, we did some pilots over the last year in terms of taking a look at the elasticity of price versus demand. And as we took some prices down in certain regions, we saw strong growth in terms of volumes. And so we've seen very strong growth in 2003 for the iSeries product line. And it's our intent within the IBM executives to continue to drive that. And so we're taking very significant action here. Key thing that we're doing here as well is the second point, capturing the value of i5OS and the IBM middleware with additions. We introduced in January of 2003 at a baseline the standard and enterprise editions. We'll continue with that on the IBM eServer i5, but we'll continue to make enhancements To the content of Enterprise Edition and the capabilities of Standard Edition. And we'll look at introducing some select editions as well. Things like high availability editions, capacity backup editions, like we did on the 8XX product line. We'll continue that with IBM eServer i5. And we'll also introduce, and I'll talk about a little bit later in the chart deck, what we call our Express Editions. Of some very prepackaged total solution packages, very aggressively priced, targeted for the entry marketplace that we're seeing a lot of demand for. With the pricing that we have here, we're very excited about how we stack up against Wintel platforms in this space, and we believe we have a competitive solution here now with these Express configurations. I talk about that in that third bullet, that Express Edition will start as low as $11,500 in the U.S. Very rich configuration for a very powerful box. If we turn to the next chart, chart number 7, you know, we've talked within the iSeries product line for a long time, this on-demand operating environment. And we're announcing two new enhancements to this environment. The addition of native AIX 5L being able to be run on these new Power 5 processors, and you see that kind of on the left part of the diagram. But we're also introducing the capability that with our integrated Intel servers that ran Windows environments in the past, we'll also now be able to run Linux. We've gotten input from some of our customers that over time they've added Linux capability in kind of a try and see approach, and they've done that by adding Intel PC servers around their iSeries box. And so they have Linux on Intel applications, and they've communicated to us the simplest way for them to be able to bring it into an iSeries platform and leverage the management capability and the lower cost of ownership associated with tying it with the iSeries. The easiest way would be for them to just be able to bring Linux over onto our IXS or integrated X-Series servers. And so we've offered that up, and that becomes then a stepping point for them to potentially then further take it over to Linux on Power, where they can fully leverage the virtualization technologies that I'll talk about here in a little bit. But a very strong offering. There is no server in the marketplace today that can offer, you know, these four different operating environments with this kind of flexibility in the marketplace. If you turn to the next chart, chart number 8, the virtualization engine, we talk about these Power 5 servers and the great price performance associated with them, but as important and even more so in many respects is this concept of the virtualization engine. There's really two key pieces that I want you to take away from this call, and you can see this on the chart. Again, virtualization engine will become available across all of the IBM eServer platforms. Two key pieces. There's a set of platform technologies, and that you see in the dark blue at the lower part of the diagram, and there's a set of platform system services. So let me talk about the technologies first. The technologies are a delta enhancement from what we've had on iSeries in the past. So those of you with iSeries, familiar with iSeries, are familiar with the concept of virtual I.O., the ability for an OS 400 partition to manage the disk and I.O. of Linux or Windows applications running in a single iSeries. We extend that now to AIX. i5 OS will be able to manage the disk I.O. for AIX partitions. AIX will also be able to manage the I.O. for Linux partitions. i5OS will be able to, of course, continue to manage the I.O. for Linux and Windows. So you have this kind of hierarchy established. Again, being able to leverage i5OS for the management capabilities to provide more of a consistent look and feel in terms of how the I.O. is managed, how the I.O. is utilized within the server, and it also opens up the ability to have a consistent management structure for backing up and restoring all of the data on the system, whether that's originated from applications on native i5OS, Linux, AIX, or Windows. The dynamic LPAR, again, a capability that we've had on iSeries. I'll talk about how we're extending that here with eServer i5. And then the extensions to capacity on demand. So that's a set of technologies that is very unique to the hardware technology within IBM eServer. So, of course, iSeries and P-Series will have the common, the same system technologies within the virtualization engine. X-Series will have slightly different implementation of the technologies, the same thing with the Z-Series. But it all provides this overall capability of the virtualization of the hardware investment. And that's a key message that we're establishing within IBM eServer. The system services then sit on top of the operating system environments that are available on the eServer platform that leverages these platform technologies. And these system services, and I'll talk about them more in future charts, but things like IBM Director Multiplatform, Grid Toolbox, Enterprise Workload Manager, Systems Provisioning. These are technologies that help to simplify the management of the different operating environments that are on the platform. Again, those different operating environments are there to run specific applications, specific capabilities that operating environment is good for. And so these system services provide more consistency and management of directing resource and monitoring capability across the different environments, and that extends across different platforms, not just within a single platform. So when you have multiple heterogeneous platforms in a network, the system services gives you capabilities in terms of managing, monitoring, and directing workload across the network. So that's Virtualization Engine, very strong message from an IBM eServer perspective, and implemented first on eServer i5. My next chart is the key point that I talked about, the integration of WebSphere Express with every license of i5OS. A key message here, second point, i5OS will run on, of course, the new eServer i5 servers, but will also run back on the 7XX models as well as the 8XX models. So v5r3 will run all the way back to the 7XX models, includes the 170. However, you cannot run v5r2 on an eServer i5. So to move to the eServer i5, you need to move to the new i5OS operating system. Next chart, let's talk a little bit about the new hardware models that we're introducing. So chart number 11, on the left you see the current marketed product line from the model 800 up through the model 890, which is the iSeries product line. On May 4th, we announced the introduction of Power 5 processors at the low end of the product line. We introduced the model 520, and I'll talk about it more in a little bit, and the model 570. The model 520 totally overlaps, replaces, from a performance perspective, the 800, the 810, and goes well into the performance levels of the 825. The 570 that we announced last week is limited to a 4-way initially, but over time I'll talk about how we'll grow that up to a 16-way, and then on top of that we'll have a follow-on to the 890 structure that will take us well above the performance range that we have today on the 890. We'll talk about that in some subsequent charts. The next chart, chart 12, talks about that model 520 and up to the 4-way 570. And you see a rough view here from a CPW perspective. And again, CPW being commercial performance workload, which we have used within iSeries over the past. It's a benchmark performance for OS400-based applications. So if you use that as an example measure, you can see the performance range that we announced here with the Power 5. The very smallest Power 5 will start out, you can't see it here from the numbers real clear, but 500 CPW on the very low end, and that 574-way is just short of 12,000 CPW. It's actually 11,700 for the 4-way 570. Now that compares to, let me just throw out some examples. The model 825 today, with six Power 4 processors activated, we peg at around 6,600 CPW. So you can see a 2-way 520 at 6,000 CPW almost overlaps the performance of that Model 825. So again, very strong performance. We feel we have a good linear range of performance points to offer. You see with the orange that we introduced the processor on-demand capability with the 570, so there's 2 points. You can buy the 570 one-to-two way that has one processor activated out of the chute, one processor in standby, or a two-to-four way where you have two activated initially and two processors available for peak workloads. The next chart, chart 13, reiterates the point that said, again, in January of 2003, we introduced the standard and enterprise editions. That concept continues with the IBM eServer i5, leveraging standard edition, again, for the very aggressively priced e-business types of workloads, and then the enterprise edition for more of a total solution stack offering, leveraging full maximum interactive capability, as well as key middleware, as well as utilities and tools for i5 OS that help the customer to manage their total solution environment. Again, very consistent with what we had in the past with some additions. The next chart, chart 14, reemphasizes that even though we're making a lot of changes here in terms of very powerful new processors with the Power 5, as well as new capability within the operating system and middleware, certain key things continue to be the foundation of how iSeries is differentiated from other platforms in the marketplace. One is this ability to upgrade, retain your serial number, so retain that asset investment that you've made on older systems, retain the serial number, be able to extend leases, be able to continue depreciation schedules, those kinds of things. So we'll have upgrade paths from the 8XX line into these new Power 5 servers. And we're announcing initially here the Model 810 will have an upgrade path into the Model 520. When we announced the 810, we did not announce an upgrade path out of that platform. So we're introducing that upgrade path with this announcement. So the 820s, 830s, 840s, 810, 825, 870, and eventually with the 890 as well, we'll have upgrade paths into the new Power 5 platforms. Another key investment protection capability is the ability to bring the I/O that you may have on your existing Power 4-based systems, your current 8XX systems. All of the I/O that's marketed today on 8XX can be brought over to the Power 5 systems. So your I/O infrastructure can be brought over to Power 5, and so there's a strong investment protection there. In addition to that, of course, is your disks, your storage disks. All the 10K, 15K RPM disks will be brought and supported over on the Power 5 systems. And we also then have, in terms of upgrade of the operating system, single-step upgrades from V5R1 and V5R2 to V5R3. Our next chart goes into a little bit more detail on the Model 520, and I'd encourage you, again, to go to the website for more details. But the 520, again, at the low end of the product line, will come in two different packaging flavors, and you see this on the chart. There'll be a desk-side version as well as a rack-mounted version. We've had a lot of input from customers to get back to an industry standard. If you're familiar with AS400, we had industry standard racks in the past. We moved to towers, and the feedback that we got was to get back to the industry standard rack. So this rack mount is a standard 19-inch industry standard rack compatible package. The 520 will come in either a one-way or a two-way. You see some of the capacities there. Standard Enterprise Edition will be supported on it. We'll have what we call a Value Edition, very similar to the Value Editions on the Model 800. And I'll talk a little bit about the Express Edition in a future chart that talks about how we're really going after this entry space. The next chart is a high-level overview of the Model 570. And as I mentioned, what we announced on Tuesday was only up to the four-way. So two offerings, a one-to-two-way and a two-to-four-way. But very significant architectural enhancement in terms of packaging with the 570. This four-way unit is a modular building block that will be extendable up to a 16-way. So you'll be able to take four of these 574 ways and be able to tie them together with an integrated SMP cable construct that would allow you to grow that 570 all the way up to a 16-way single SMP, single system image offering. And again, very flexible upgrade in the field. No parts on the floor. It's a matter of sliding in additional 4U, 4-way 570 units to get up to that 16-way capability. Performance range goes from, again, that 4-way at 11,700 CPW to when we come out with that 16-way capability, and that will come out here a little bit later this year, that 16-way capability will have more performance than today's 32-way 890. So very, very strong performance scalability capability. And later in the year, we will look at then introducing the follow-on to the 890, which would be that 24-inch rack, and that will then take the performance even further. So really blowing the top off of any perceived lids in terms of performance capability for the eServer i5 line. My next chart is entitled Flexible Capacity On-Demand Options. So let's talk a little bit about the enhancements we're making for on-demand. As you're aware, for iSeries in the past, we've had processors on-demand. With the new eServer i5 offerings, we're introducing memory capacity on-demand. Same process, same approach for memory as we've done with processor. The memory on-demand will only be available for the model 570 and larger systems. We're not introducing memory on-demand on the smaller systems. That's mainly because of memory capacities being smaller on the smaller systems, but also with the significant memory price reductions. The view is most customers will just purchase the memory on the low-end boxes and have all of that memory available for all processors. But the new memory capacity on demand, there'll be options to purchase, for example, 8 gigabyte cards, for example, that has 4 gigabyte turned on, 4 in reserved. And turning on the reserve memory is the same processes and capabilities that we have for turning on standby processors. So that's a new significant enhancement. We're also introducing new trial capacity on demand. It's something that we had offered in the past, but we had dropped. We're bringing that back. Again, consistent with how we'll do it with the P-Series going forward, it's a 30-day trial for any standby resource, the ability to turn that on from a trial perspective, no charge, to see how that can benefit the performance of the workloads that you're running on your system. And we're also introducing now what we call a reserve capacity on demand. Very powerful capability, we'll contend, not available anywhere else in the industry. This is a concept where you can pre-buy activation days for your hardware resource. And so, for example, you can purchase 30 days of processor resource, and you can apply that 30 days of availability into a pool of resource on your system. So you can have your standby processors automatically be brought into a active partition. If that partition hits 100% utilization, you have the ability for the system to automatically bring standby processor resource, leverage this reserve purchased on-demand capability, and that resource will be applied to that resource without you having to do any operations, any calls to IBM, any activation of keys. All that's been pre-set up and ready to go. So a very, very powerful capability that we think a lot of customers will be very interested in. All right, let's turn and talk a little bit more about the new economic model. Chart number 19. I've covered most of the key points here. Let's maybe just go continue on for the sake of time, and we can answer any questions you might have on that as we go forward in the question and answer period. Chart 20 really kind of shows, hopefully in a fairly dramatic fashion, what we've done from a pricing perspective from iSeries now to eServer i5. You see up in the upper left-hand quadrant there the model 820. you're familiar with the 820, we had a concept of interactive feature codes, and you see the pricing there for a box with 1,100 CPW, so that's a CPW number. So a 820 at 1,100 CPW, you saw the pricing for Enterprise Edition on those boxes. And that wasn't Enterprise Edition. Those are those interactive feature codes. And then when we introduced Enterprise Edition on the 810, as you look down further in 2003, you saw for a similar performance point, 1,020, that the Enterprise Edition, which is the interactive capability for the full box, is at 78, comparable to the cheapest offering on the 820. And now with the Model 520, 1,000 CPW, comparable performance point, you can see the dramatic decrease in terms of capability for Enterprise Edition on that box. And that's across the eServer i5 line. Next chart talks a little bit about the Express Edition. So let's just spend a few minutes here. The bottom 2 points of the Model 520, the bottom 2 performance points, are a 500 CPW point and a 1,000 CPW point. We've created 2 what we call express configurations around those bottom 2 performance points. The first 2 configurations are centered around the 500 CPW point. And so there's 500 CPWs available total for the box, 30 CPWs available for interactive. You can see the content. Basically, number 1 is enriched hardware capability with i5OS and, of course, WAS Express, like I talked about, and, of course, the integrated DB2 for $11,500, a savings of between $5,000 and $6,000 from what it would be priced out if you just bought the pieces individually. And then configuration number 2 adds to that some very significant software capability, including WebSphere Development Studio. So there's a total development application tool set available on this platform at a price point of $14,500. So very, very attractive, very, very competitive compared to a Wintel environment. If you stack up that equivalent set of solutions on that platform, a very competitive offering. And then configuration number 3 takes a similar set of hardware and software and applies it to the 1,000 CPW point that has 60 CPW of interactive for less than 30,000 US. So very, very attractive. Again, our focus is, again, on that entry space, heads up attack on Wintel servers in your environment. Let's move on to talking about simplifying your infrastructure. Again, one of the key messages, what are we doing with this announcement to enhance that key message? On chart number 23, it talks a little bit about the enhancements to our logical partitioning capability. In the past, we had a limit of 32 partitions on an iSeries server. We're increasing that with IBM eServer to 254 partitions. That is a limit of 10 partitions per processor. And so since we're only announcing up to a 4-way with Power 5 at this point, that's 40 partitions on that 4-way. But as we proceed and we go up to 64-way systems, we will support up to 254 partitions. Now, you might say 64 processors times 10 is 640. Tim, why don't you have 640 here? And the answer is simply we need to test that in our labs. We've drawn a line at 254. We haven't gotten any customer requirements that are higher than that at this point. But if any of you need more than 254, just give me a call. That's not a hard limit. We just want to do some testing and validating, and that does take time. A key enhancement to our partitioning is this ability to automatically apply hardware resource to partitions at the time that the partitions need it. In the past, we've had what we've called capped partitions or capped resource. And that simply said that you can move your resource amongst partitions, but it's done in a fashion where the operator needs to do it through iSeries Nav or an application do it through sensing changes within the system. But with V5 R3 and the Power 5 servers, this is only available on the Power 5 servers, the eServer i5, We now have the ability where you can set up your resource in shared pools, and the system will monitor and determine when a partition is hitting 100% utilization of its resource. The system will automatically take resource out of that shared pool and apply it to the partition immediately at the time that it needs it. So this is automatic movement of resource, another major step forward in terms of our on-demand strategy and message. First on eServer i5, this capability will also be available in our P-Series because, again, it's the same firmware, same hardware platform that we're leveraging, but a very strong capability to apply towards the different workloads, different environments that are now available on an eServer i5. Another key enhancement in terms of the flexibility and on-demand nature is the elimination of the primary partition that we've had up to date. If you're familiar, again, the primary partition is needed, has to be OS400 based today, and it manages all the secondary partitions. If for whatever reason that primary partition would go down, the whole system goes down. The primary partition gets replaced with what we call now the Hardware Management Console, which is technology that we've brought from the Z-Series and the P-Series to manage the partitions. If the HMC goes down, all of your partitions to continue to operate, you just cannot move the resource amongst the partitions until HMC is brought back online. You can have redundant HMC, so you can have more than one HMC attached, so in case one goes down, you can fail over to a secondary HMC. And you can also interface an HMC remotely into a server. So there's a lot of redundancy built in. The interface is very similar to iSeries Navigator. It is different. It's a different interface. I would encourage you to take a look at some of the resources available to learn about the HMC interface, but we feel it's very intuitive and will provide guidance in terms of setup and operation for HMC. But a very powerful additional capability to ensure reliability for the overall solution. The next chart is IBM Director Multiplatform. Again, part of the virtualization engine system services that I talked about before. This is brought from our X-Series platform, IBM Director, now applied across all the eServer platforms, available first here on eServer i5. Director Multiplatform basically allows you to centralize the management and monitoring of common functions across the different operating environments that you would have, and that's either within a single eServer or i5 or across a heterogeneous network of systems. Very much complements iSeries Navigator, again, which is focused on i5 OS system functions and applied to Linux, AIX, and Windows. But very powerful capability. This matched with the follow-on to PM400, which is now we're calling PM iSeries, gives you the capability to collect and report performance out of all of the partitions and the Windows servers that you have under the covers on an eServer i5 platform. So you can get a total system view leveraging PM iSeries across your different partitions. Chart number 25 talks just briefly about, again, introducing native AIX 5L on an eServer i5. I almost always get the question of what's the performance of AIX 5L running on an eServer i5 versus on a P-Series. And again, with Power 5, the same hardware, same firmware is used on both platforms. So if you configure identically, it is exactly the same performance on an eServer i5 as we will have on P-Series. We announced it on May 4th, AIX 5L 5.2, which is the current release of AIX. That will be available in third quarter, so it's not available on June 11th, but it will be available third quarter when we bring out the P-Series line, and we'll also support follow-on releases of AIX. As we move to AIX 5.3, that will be supported as well. Again, runs natively. Leverages all this very rich on-demand and partitioning technology for hardware resource utilization. So your ability to run any AIX application along with your i5 OS applications, Linux applications, and be able to leverage your hardware across those environments, again, is second to none in the marketplace. Next chart, 26, just gives you a quick highlight in terms of enhancements that we're making with the Linux environment. Again, we're announcing Linux support for eServer i5 like we have in the past. The availability of the new distributions from our Linux partners won't be available until third quarter. We specify that in the announcement. But again, as SUSE and Red Hat, Novell SUSE and Red Hat provide their distributions, those will be available on the Power 5 servers. Again, one distribution like in the past, this is one distribution for either an iSeries or a P-Series platform, just like it's one AIX for either iSeries and P-Series and one i5 OS for either iSeries or P-Series. Linux will be able to leverage the new enhancements in terms of the partitioning that I talked about, as well as iSeries Nav. V5R3 has been enhanced to be able to start up, shut down Linux servers, allow you to be able to set up drives, manage the virtual storage space for Linux. Next chart, 27, talks also then enhancements to the Windows environment. Again, the key announcement here is the support of Linux on both the integrated IXS server under the covers, as well as the 2-to-8-way X series servers that we have support for. We've also, within the Windows environment and for then Linux as well, we've increased the storage space size that the i5 OS can manage for either Windows or Linux in this environment. I'm increasing that size up to 1 terabyte, which would be then a maximum of 32 terabytes per eServer i5. So very significant enhancements there. Next section is Integrate to Innovate. Chart 28, then as we go to 29, we talked about the WebSphere application server, further integration, delivering with every license of i5 OS. Okay. Next chart, chart number 30, gives a highlight in terms of Lotus. Lotus 6.5.1 available on eServer i5. 6.5, the mod 1, is a unifying release, taking the common release levels of many of the Domino-based products like Instant Messaging, Document Manager, Team Workplace, Workflow, bringing that together into a single unifying release, again, for consistency of operation, further reliability. We integrate Instant Messaging in with the Notes client, so again, your ability to go into your reader, see a note from an individual, be able to send an instant message to that individual. Again, continuing to support the multiple clients that we've had with Lotus on iSeries in the past. Chart number 31 introduces Lotus Workplace 2.0, new for eServer i5. And this really takes many of those collaborative applications that exist on clients in a server network environment and brings that together into a package. Built on portal technology, J2EE, a very powerful solution for collaborative type of application deployment in your business. Chart number 32, WebSphere Portal Express. We've announced an Express Plus, several enhancements. Again, Portal being a very strong tool for creating the interface for your business, for your employees, for your customers, for your suppliers, interface to a set of functionality that they can have in a very easy-to-use form, an intuitive form, that you want to set up from your business perspective. We've introduced some further setup wizards with i5 OS, again, to make it very easy to set this up, to be able to set up the portals. We've also included new iSeries access portlets that can be managed through Portal Express to help you define interfaces for remote operations that manage the system, as an example. And in fact, the next chart, chart number 33, talks about some of the enhancements to iSeries Access, the fact that many of the system management functions now that we've always had within iSeries Access for Windows can now be deployed as portlets through iSeries Access for the web, leveraging the Portal Express capability. We've also introduced a couple new access methods such that for Windows clients, they can access data in DB2 within i5 OS through Microsoft.net data provider. And we've also provided a new ODBC so that Linux clients can access data within the integrated database within i5 OS Some very strong enhancements there. 34, WIPS for Development Studio. We continue to enhance high acceptance of this solution. Again, a total integrated application development set of tools for you to use on your iSeries platform, whether that be, you know, CL, Java, C, RPG types of languages to leverage for native i5OS application development, PACE environments, and the like. So a very strong tool there, continuing to make available. And as I indicated earlier, the Express configurations have that bundled into a couple of those configurations. Chart number 35, again, some strong enhancements to printing. Our last couple of releases have been a little light on printing, but some very key enhancements here. InfoPrint server enhancements to support full PDF capability, including encryption, as well as many enhancements to the output architectures, support for more Unicode types of data structures, TrueType, OpenType support, direct import of typical web image formats, as well as enhancements, an extension of the printer line available for iSeries. So very good enhancements on our print capability, really in line with the industry with many of the advanced functions that are available. The last area is deliver without disruption. So let me proceed with chart number 37. I talked earlier about the HMC, Hardware Management Council. It is the council required to manage the hardware for the Power 5-based servers. And let me try to be very clear here. When you order a Power 5 system, we will not force an HMC on the order. You need an HMC for three things. If your Power 5 system is partitioned, the only way you can partition it is through an HMC. If you want to leverage on-demand resource, so standby processors or memory, you need an HMC to do that. And or if you want to update any of the firmware, for example, if we make an enhancement, bring out new capability, or have defects that need to be applied, you can do that concurrently now with these Power 5 servers without having to re-IPL your system, but it requires HMC to do that. So HMC is required for those three functions. Again, as I talked about before, a lot of redundancy built in. We do provide a 5250 emulation interface there, so it can support the system console types of functions. But significantly improves the system resiliency and reliability for that partitioned on-demand environment. Next, chart 38 talks about cross-site mirroring. As you're familiar with iSeries previous operating system releases, we introduced the concept of switch disk, the ability to take an independent auxiliary storage pool, define it for a disk, and be able to then switch that from one primary system to a secondary system. That gives you redundancy in case your system fails. But now what we've done is a couple things. We've added additional data that you can put into that independent ASP. We've had IFS files, database files. We've now introduced spool files, so that really completes the majority of the objects that we'd want to put in an independent ASP. And now we provide the capability to mirror that switch disk to a system that is remote, whether that's halfway around the world, whatever, whatever communication link you want to set up between your primary system locally and your remote system, TCP/IP based, it provides a disaster recovery alternative to some of the other options that we have. So strong capability there. Chart number 39 also reemphasizes our emphasis on support for the SAN environment. In 2003, you saw us introduce the support for many new switches and directors that I show here in the bottom bullet. But we also are announcing now with V5R3 the support for multi-path I/O. And again, what this does is allows you to have multiple paths from a eServer i5 system to a single LUN on an enterprise storage SAN server. So the ability to go through multiple IOPs, again, for improved fault tolerance and redundancy. Next chart, chart number 40, I'm just touching on some of the very rich capability within i5OS, but some very significant enhancements in terms of trying to ensure non-disruptive operations, whether that be through database management, some improvements in terms of performance for functions like when you want to reorganize your database tables and structures, so improved performance there, and restart and monitoring improvements to improve the flexibility of the operation. We've made a very key enhancement in terms of save while active, the ability to improve the performance of save while active, especially now when you have applications that have open commit control transactions in a database operation, the ability to save while you have open commits. That means that that window where you have to save everything off gets shortened even further because you can do some of those saves while you're in production. Again, trying to drive us to that point where, you know, that 24/7 is always the norm, which many of our customers are today. So key enhancements there. RAID 5 across SCSI buses also improves fault tolerance. A key capability here is the ability on an HSL loop now to be able to add an I/O tower, a drawer, or IXA, as that is attached to an eServer i5 system, the ability to add or remove without re-IPLing the server. Again, for that non-disruptive type of operation. We've also now made automatic the conversion of IFS directories to improve performance in that arena. Chart number 41, key enhancements to the database. It really centers around performance improvements, scalability improvements, and the continued improvement for interfaces, supporting the standard SQL interface, as well as the compatibility with functionality similar to other relational databases in the marketplace. So a lot of enhancement. We've made a very large investment in DB2 here to, again, improve that performance, that scalability, and the interface standard compliance. Also increased the, you know, the capacity of a single table size to 1.7 terabytes. Also introduced partitioned database tables that really allows us to extend that scalability. Chart number 42, backup recovery automation with BRMS. Enhancements to automate the backup now for all this these diverse environments that we have on an eServer i5 platform. BRMS can manage the shutdown, save and start of LPARs, Domino, Windows, Linux, AIX partitions on the system. So very good, strong improvement there. And again, a key message that allows you to manage that the files then you store on the system irregardless of the operating system or the application that's managing the data. Chart number 43, enhancements to our IFS system. We've announced with Byteware the ability to have native real-time virus protection scanning tools available for the IFS. So we've created a set of interfaces that the Byteware StandGuard antivirus solution ties into so that you can do real-time scanning of any files that have originated elsewhere within the network, within the world, and are coming into your i5 system. So a way to ensure that you keep viruses out. Of course, internally created objects, we still stand true to the fact that i5OS is the most virus-resilient operating system in the world. 44 is just that summary of that earlier chart that I had, and the same thing with 45. I'd like to close now because I definitely want to get into a question and answer period. So, Holly, let me hand it back to you.
Thank you, Tim. At this time, we'd like to conduct a brief electronic survey. After I finish reading the entire question and all of the possible responses, please answer by phone by pressing the star key, followed by the number on your touch-tone phone that corresponds to your choice. If you are using a speakerphone today, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. For our first question today, on a scale of 1 to 4, how valuable did you find Al's chat? Press star 1 for very valuable, star 2 for valuable, star 3 for somewhat valuable, and star 4 for of no value. We'll pause for a moment. For our second question today, on a scale of 1 to 4, how valuable did you find Mike's chat? Again, that's star 1 for very valuable, star 2 for valuable, star 3 for somewhat valuable, star 4 for of no value. For our third question, on a scale of 1 through 4, how valuable did you find Frank's chat? Press star 1 for very valuable, star 2 for valuable, star 3 for somewhat valuable, and star 4 for of no value. We'll be right back with our last question. Finally today, on a scale of 1 through 4, how valuable did you find Tim's chat? Press star 1 for very valuable, star 2 for valuable, star 3 for somewhat valuable, and star 4 for of no value. We'd like to thank you for participating in today's survey. As Tim said, we do want to take your questions today. So if you have a question or a comment on any of the presentations, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone. Again, that's star 1 to take questions today. We'll take our first question from Gary Zelleros.
Yes. Is the trial and reserve capacity on demand available for the 520 series?
No. Reserve capacity on demand. Oh, I'm sorry, for the 520.
Yeah.
That's the 520. The 520 does not have processor on demand. The 520 you either purchase as a one-way server or a two-way server. We do not have a one- to two-way offering on the 520.
Okay. What about the what about on WebSphere? Is the Portal Express and Express Plus, is that an optional license, and is there a price associated with it?
For Enterprise Edition, we'll include Portal Express within Enterprise Edition, and WebSphere Application Server, there's no separate price. That is included as part of either the Standard or the Enterprise Edition purchased on those models.
Okay. Without the Enterprise Edition, is it available?
Yes, it is available. If you purchase a Standard Edition, it is available for a fee, Portal Express is. But the WebSphere Application Server is part of i5OS, which is built in part of Standard Edition as well.
Okay, thank you.
And again, that is star 1 for questions or comments. Moving on, we'll hear from Charles Morgan.
Yes, my question is on the Director of Multiplatform and the Ops Navigator. What client does that now run on?
The Operations Navigator, a Windows client, but we also now have Linux clients that are available. So Operations Navigator is available through that, through iSeries Access. The IBM Director Multiplatform, Windows, and I'd have to get back to you on Linux. I'm pretty sure that's Linux as well, but I would have to validate that to be 100% sure.
Okay.
We'll take our next question today from Brad Scott.
Concerning virtual I/O, would a tape drive be visible across OS 400 partitions as well as a guested Linux partition, or would the tape have to be manually switched across partitions?
You'll need to right now at this point in time, that's something that we will be working on for future enhancements, but you'll still need to manually switch those across those partitions. They can be leveraged there, but you would have to switch them across.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
And as a final reminder today, it is star 1 for questions or comments. And we'll pause for just a moment. We'll hear next from Steve Fletcher.
Yes, you mentioned the 8XX and 7XX as being available for i5 OS, v5 R3. Is that going to be available for the 270 line also?
Yes, I should have included that. Yes, the 170 and the 270 will be able to run i5OS as well.
Thank you.
We'll hear now from Tanya White-Strozer.
I was unable to get the handout, so where can I get those handouts or your overview?
Malcolm, can you help out there?
Yeah, if you could let me have your email address later, if you could let the operator have it offline, I will email it to you.
Thank you.
We'll now take a follow-up from Brad Scott.
Will we be able to use something like SSH to get into the HMC remotely so that we can access a console to do dedicated tasks like reclaim storage?
You know, that is a question that came up yesterday, and we are pursuing that. I don't know the answer to that right now. I believe that is the case, but I'm getting validation on that. Again, if you want to, let us give us your email. Provide that to the operator. I should provide that to Malcolm, and then we'll make sure we get a response back to you on that.
Thank you.
And it appears it's one final question from Marcy Schottler.
Yes, I have a system 820, and can you direct me to a website that will list the hardware devices that may not be available if I go to V5R3? I have some old DASDs.
Yeah, we've the planning website as part of the iSeries web area. The planning website over time has talked about the withdrawals that we've made on different IO devices, and that would be the place to go to see if you've got old IO that is no longer being marketed, whether that's been withdrawn. That would be the place to go, I think.
Okay. Do you know when that might be updated? As of last week, there wasn't anything out there on it.
There wasn't there.
No.
But it would still show, in terms of the 8XX line, what was current and what was what's been withdrawn. And again, my point is with the I/O, everything that is current for the 8XX line is supported on eServer i5.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Thanks.
Yep.
We'll now take a follow-up again from Brad Scott.
As long as you have time, a couple questions on Linux.
Yes.
Will there be some sort of Linux integration there, similar to the way there is with Windows integration on the internal X servers, so that we could synchronize user IDs and passwords?
I believe that the level of integration we have for Windows will be there on day one with Linux, but I'll have to validate that one, Brad. That's a good question. Definitely all of the storage management and the ability to start and stop the Linux server and allocate drives, all of that is there. In terms of the user profile management, I believe that's the same set of code there, but of course there's two pieces of it, one in iSeries Nav and one in Linux, so I need to validate that piece.
Okay, and one last question. WebSphere Development Studio client, will that be available for Linux anytime soon?
I'll have to get back to you on that one too, Brad.
Okay then.
Sorry.
Thanks.
Yep. Good questions. I need to know those answers myself.
Let's see if there's any easy questions. Holly, do you have any easy ones?
I do not have any at all at this time.
I think, actually, we're pretty close to the end of our time right now, so I think I'll draw the meeting to a close. There's nobody waiting right now, Holly?
There are no further questions.
Okay. Well, thank you. Everyone for attending this call. Thank you also, Tim, very much for an excellent presentation, and thanks also to Al Zoller, Mike Young, and Frank Saltis. Our next chat is in about a month's time. It's going to be on June the 17th, and that's George Gaylord, who's talking about integrated X-Series solutions. Now, of course, he's going to talk not only about running Windows on Intel, but also, as a result of this announcement, Linux on Intel. So thank you everyone for being with us, and we'll see you again on June the 17th. Thank you.
And that does conclude today's conference call. Thank you all for your participation, and have a great day.